So what happened was JD was drunk and wandering around, and then he found himself in like somebody's backyard. So he started taking a piss because he had to pee real bad because he was drunk. Mm-hmm. And he looked into the window that he was next to, and all of a sudden janitor walks in, and it was janitor's house. And janitor starts going to the bathroom, and he's looking at him, and then he looks down, and he's like, "Oh no!" And the JD. It was like a possible cancerous spot, like basically something on janitor's dick that could have been really dangerous. And so he had the whole rest of the episode, he was trying to figure out a way so he could accidentally see his dick so he wouldn't have to explain why he saw his dick so he can get him treated for what's happening. So basically when they, at the end of the episode, and he finally examines him and he says, "All right, everything's fine. It looks benign." He goes, benign and a half. That's a good joke.
That's good. That's a much better joke than I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Yeah. Mike, take it away.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Before we get started, we'd like you to do a couple things. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@ComesNaturalPod.
Then you head on over to iTunes, you rate the podcast, review the podcast, and subscribe to the podcast. Cody.
Comes Naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to get... Do you have a wrestling minute? Did we talk about this already?
Nah.
All right, Mike, go wrestling minute.
You were looking up Goldberg stuff. He actually fought.
Oh, Goldberg came back.
Officially?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's in the ring. He answered the challenge to Brock Lesnar. So we're going to have Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg again.
Boom.
And then, I went to a house show.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
That was fun.
Did your buddy show up?
Oh, that was a house show.
No, Ellsworth? No. Yeah.
Boo, he's too big time for a house show, huh?
WWE gave him his t-shirt, official t-shirt, though.
Did you buy it? Did you pre-order it?
No, because it's literally his face crunched up like that, so he looks like a retarded Scooby-Doo, because he has no chin.
And Shaggy?
No, Scooby-Doo.
Scooby, even when he does that, he still has a chin.
Not much, but this is more Scooby-Doo-ish than Shaggy.
Gross.
But the one cool thing that happened, main event, we had John Cena versus AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE WWE World Heavyweight Championship. So match was super cool. We brought Bobbo, my nephew Bob. We brought him.
It'd be cool if it was Bobbo because his last name was Owen.
No.
Oh, that would no, but it would Bobbo. Be it would be dope. Is what he's saying.
Yeah, whatever. So
adopt him.
Yeah, no,
boom,
nah,
done.
That's gonna happen. Better at being we'll make this uncle official. Than yeah. I'm just gonna stick to uncle. So he's watched some wrestling with me, but like no one in his house watches wrestling. So he likes it. He just doesn't like know everybody yet. But he's like getting more and more into it. So we were like, yeah, we'll take him. You know, he'll have fun. The only one he knows is John Cena. Like, he's very aware of John
Everybody
Cena.
Everybody knows him.
Yeah. So John Cena came out, and he lost his fucking shit. They're like, Bob was so fucking excited. It was hilarious.
Nice.
And then he started booing the other guys. Like, he was, like, into it the whole night. But when that main event hit, and, like, John Cena was in there, and he had, like, emotional investment into it, he started getting all into it and yelling and booing and cheering real loud, just having a great time. Well, we were sitting just off the floor seats, two rows up in the first set of bleachers. So we're only like 30 feet from the ring.
Nice.
So great seats. AJ Styles wins because he has to keep his belt on a house show. But then John Cena gets, you know, he beats him up after the match and sends the crowd home happy, like they always like to do. So John Cena's doing his posing and all the corners and stuff. So I picked Bob up. So he could wave and yell and hopefully, you know, make eye contact with Cena and make his day and stuff. Cena takes off the wristband, throws it. I'm in the second row up. There's two people reaching for it. I reach out and I grab it and I snag it from them. And they're holding on to it. So I caught it, but they're holding on to it. Uh-huh. And it, like, it flings off of me because they're trying to get it and I'm trying to get it. And it falls down and I got my foot on it. And I picked it up, so we snagged it.
Nice.
Bob got John Cena's ring-worn wristband. Fucking made his night. He was
nice.
Yeah, he was super pumped about it. So, yeah, it was a cool little moment.
Yeah.
So
pretty rad. Yeah. Cool. Anything else?
Nah.
All right, that's your minute, Mike, a wrestling
word.
Otherwise known as Mike's Wrestling Minute.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
That's so Mike. Boom, we're going to go into our month-long thing here. We're still going into Mystery Horror Movie Talk. Mike actually watched one.
What? Word life, homie.
So Mike's going to wait for Joe to go.
Oh, we're going to make the sleepy guy go first?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Wake up, fuckwad.
Wow, that's a bit rough.
I say slap yourself.
Nah.
On air, so I'm everybody
good.
Can hear it.
I'm good. Damn it, Cody. Oh. What the fuck, dude?
I'm abusive.
Yeah, you are.
Only to my friends, not my girlfriends.
So this week I decided to watch the movie called The Awakening.
Oh, I was going to watch that, but it looks bad.
It was bad.
Okay, good. I'm not mistaken.
So that's surprising. I've actually now watched something you haven't watched.
This is the one with what's-his-face, or what's-her-name in it, right?
Yeah, there is a girl in it. Rebecca Hall. Right,
that's the one.
Quick little synopsis here. Oh, it's not here. I'm on the Wikipedia page. Anyway, so the quick little thing that I basically read about it that got me interested was basically there's this girl. She debunks spiritual mediums and ghosts and haunted houses and something like that. And she encounters this one house that basically changes her mind. That was essentially the synopsis I read, and I'm like, oh, cool, straight up horror movie, ghosts and shit, awesome, I'm sold. Start watching it, and right away it's all BBC, and I'm like, ooh, is this going to be any good or not? Because was this like a made-for-TV movie over in BBC? I don't know. I think it actually got theater releases, honestly. Oh, yeah, it did.
Film, right?
It was a BBC film, but it looks like it did get actual box office release because they made $4,490,365.
Brendan Stark that was in it. I was trying to remember which Stark boy was in it. Brendan Stark was in it.
I didn't even recognize him.
I watched the trailer because I was going to watch it, and then after watching the trailer, I was like, no, I'm not going to watch this movie. This looks not good.
See, I never even watched the trailer for
it. Oh, I watched it literally.
I literally just saw...
I think it was before I watched The Witch last week.
I literally just saw the poster, which was the main actress, Rebecca Hall, standing in the middle of a spooky forest. You know,
and there's like a face
up, and
in the background. The forest makes a face, right?
There might have been, but when I see it, it's so small, I can't really make out faces or anything. And I was like, okay, cool. This looks like a straight-up horror movie. Well, it starts out that this takes place in 1921, just after World War I. So that was... a little different, but where's the face? Oh, okay, I do see the face.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it, I actually do recognize the kid. Yeah, yeah. I didn't entire time. I didn't put those two together. Probably because he looks, you know, cleaned up and everything in this movie versus dirty and everything Game of Thrones. Anyway, so it starts out with her walking into this medium. I don't know if you. What would you call those?
A medium.
I know, but I mean like a
charlatan.
No, like
scammer.
But there's multiple people in there. She's about to the
seance?
Medium is seance. There we go. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. And weird things start happening, and basically the medium was supposed to contact one of the dead people. The people that were there, you know, one of their dead loved ones, and suddenly in the reflection of the glass ball that she has, you see the little girl appear out of nowhere, and you're like, oh my god, this is starting to get creepy. And Rebecca Hall's character, who was essentially undercover at the time, just yanks the little girl's hair off and exposes everything as a hoax. And so you get to understand her a little bit, you know, what she does, but also why she does it, because you get a hint of she goes there with a photograph of this guy, and you find out that that's her boyfriend who died in World War I. You know, so there's this thing where she's like trying to prove that the afterlife exists, and
but also people.
Debunking people, you know,
who are fake.
Kind of like a Harry Houdini type thing, you know.
He figures it out, shows that how to do it, and then
yeah, because, you know, she's trying to. she wants there to be a way to contact her dead boyfriend because she's still in love with him. This literally, like I said, end of World War One, only like a year ago or something like that in this movie. Anyway, she's approached by she gets home. She's approached by this guy who is a teacher over at a boys' school, and she's approached saying, you know, we know there's a ghost here. We want you to figure out who it is. And they show her photographs of this like creepy ass kid, you know, standing in the school photos, the yearly photos that they do. And she eventually reluctantly goes up there. And it's pretty cool. When she gets there, she sets up a shit ton of stuff, like, you know, trip wires that have bells on them and cameras and even like a differential temperature meter, you know, that tells you in this spot it's this temperature, in this spot it's this temperature, to give you an idea of, you know, the different temperatures and whatnot. And all throughout, it's really starting to... It was a good movie at the beginning. It honestly was. It starts to set up this creepy atmosphere and just this boarding house where they have pictures on the wall of, like, you know, dudes being decapitated and stuff. And this is supposed to be like a school. They make reference that those pictures came with the house. So you find out that it was a house at one point. Weird stuff starts happening, and you even get little glimpses of something, you know, out of the corner of somebody's eye and whatnot. But she's still there thinking that it's one of the boys who's doing it, who's scaring people. They also make reference to, just before she got there, of a kid dying of fright, essentially.
That's a lot of scare.
Yeah. So she does her investigation, and what was cool is that it was kind of like a Sherlock Holmes type thing. You know, she would see a little bit of evidence here. She finds the eye of a bear, not like an actual, you know, raw bear, but like a little teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she starts putting together the scenario of like why the kid died, and figures out that one of the kids was actually running around at night trying to scare people. But as you get further into it, you find out that there is something else actually happening. What the fuck, dude?
Michael, put your phone away.
Sorry.
Let me take it from you.
Where it starts to break down, though, is like these weird different jumps in the scene. So they have one part where she slowly is starting to go crazy because she's starting to experience ghosts and apparitions of not just this kid, but also of like her parents, which she doesn't really remember. At a very young age, she relates that she was actually an orphan from Africa, that this African tribe had found her. She has no clue anything about her parents whatsoever. But she starts seeing like this guy with a shotgun wandering the house when the only ghost there is supposed to be this little kid. And so she starts going a little crazy. She starts seeing that type of stuff. But like I said, where it starts to lose me is they have a Ghostbuster scene, you know. So she had taken a bunch of pictures, and she's trying to prove that she saw this dude with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's coming up except this creepy little boy standing in a corner. And then out of nowhere, she starts having sex with the dude that brought her into the house to begin with. And you're just like, okay. You know, and there's some more creepy stuff that happens beyond that, but I think I'll just skip to the freaking ending, which was absolutely horrendous. You find out that the boy's home was actually her house when she was a kid. Her dad accidentally killed the little kid that is actually a ghost.
In the pictures,
who, by the way...
Is her little brother?
Is her half-brother.
Half-brother.
Who, by the way, actually is in the movie. Like he's in the movie, you think he's a real kid. But only certain people can see him. Type of thing.
Okay. I thought you meant he's an adult now in the movie and isn't it being the guy she's having sex with.
No. No. This isn't Ghost.
Turned into Old Boy all of a sudden.
This isn't Ghost or Old Boy, yeah.
Where he fucks his daughter, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it...
Not the American one, the Japanese one.
They didn't do it in the American one?
No, they bullshit it out.
They scurred.
Yeah.
Well, you find out that, you know, and then the dad killed the wife, so her mom shot himself. She was so traumatized by this, she just completely had amnesia about it, blocked it completely out.
Since trauma does that to his people.
And which is fine.
When you watch your dad murder your half-brother.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, half-brother. And mom, you said?
Yeah.
Her mom,
that,
right?
So that was, yeah, so it was basically her dad really wanted a son from their mom, which they were actually married, but he ended up having an affair with the kid, with another woman.
Having the half-brother.
And having the half-brother. They got into an argument. He shot the mom. He tried to kill her, the daughter, but accidentally killed the son.
Okay.
And since he couldn't find the daughter, he just turned the shotgun on himself and killed himself. Why the kid was wandering around and haunting people is because, A, only certain people could see him. So the people that could see him are like the little kid at the beginning actually did get scared to death. He actually
saw him.
He saw him, and he was one of the kid's friends. But it turned out one of the teachers had accidentally killed him while leaving him outside at night one time. And then there's also another character, like a housekeeper type character who was the mom of the ghost kid. She could also see the kid.
Oh, so it's her son.
It's her son, yeah. Gotcha. By the end of the film, she wants them all to be together.
What?
Yeah. So the second to last scene is that she serves Rebecca Hall's character and herself some Chardonnay that's laced with poison.
Oh, in the afterlife. I was like,
in the afternoon.
They're gonna live with the ghost because the ghost is gonna die. I thought you meant
she
wanted the dude that Rebecca Hall's character was banging and Rebecca Hall and her to live together with the ghost kid. But it's the other way. She wanted to poison them so they could live with
the kid.
Okay. Makes perfect sense.
She dies, not Rebecca Hall's character.
The mom.
Although the mom, they kind of do that thing where they leave it up to the interpretation of it, but it's obviously
she looks dying, but they don't show it.
Well, because she's talking to the kid and holding the ghost kid, and she's like, you know, I really don't want to die. And the kid's like, but I miss you. And she's like, yeah, but I don't really want to die.
Gotcha.
And so he flies up into the house and grabs some, like, essentially Ipecac. I can't remember exactly. It was like sodium, zinc, something or other.
Something to make her throw up.
Yeah, something to make her throw up, and she does. They don't really show it that's what leads to the, well, is she dead or isn't she dead final ending. I would say she doesn't die because she's talking to the other dude that she was boning and saying that, you know...
Is it Dominic West? Is that who she's boning?
It might have been. He's listed as second on here.
He played Robert Mallory?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Robert.
That's Dominic West.
And then it just kind of ends. That was it. There was no... I mean, it was... Like I said, it was cool at the beginning because it had this atmosphere about it that was really creepy and whatnot, but it just kept constantly taking you out of that creepiness, and then it finally ends like that, where the ghost kid wasn't scary at all. He was sentient and doing this on purpose so that they could force the girl to stay, to Rebecca Hall's character to stay, so eventually that they could poison her and
stay forever
and be together forever.
That's looking dumb.
And yeah,
I'm glad I didn't watch it.
There's more to it and stuff.
Is there though?
No, because there's a couple of scenes, like, if you just watched out of context, would be super creepy. She sees she's looking at a lake, and she sees a hand that almost drags her into the lake, so it's, like, super creepy. She almost gets raped at one point in time by
a tree?
By the groundskeeper.
Oh.
That's close.
But the ghost...
Doesn't say ground. I was like,
but then the ghost saves her, and you're like, what?
Little kid?
The little kid saves her. The only...
Does he ghost chop the dude's dick off?
No. He has this ability, because you see that picture of him, and that's how he looked, like, for the most part in the movie, but when he was scaring people, he had this, like, really distorted look to his face that made no effing sense of why he could do that.
Or look normal.
Or look normal.
Eh.
you know. Yeah. So I wouldn't recommend seeing it. Going into it, I saw on Rotten Tomatoes it had like a 63% rating.
64, I think.
64%. So
61, it's, Jesus.
So it's technically, as they consider it,
fresh.
I would not say don't watch it. It is not very good at all, especially as a horror movie. It's just not good. Or at least watch, if you're going to watch it, watch like the first 45 minutes and then just stop.
Because you'll get about the same amount of closure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Next up, Michael, what do you got?
All right.
I'm really excited because I don't know. I don't know what this is. I'm really excited about
it. You want to guess?
No. You can give me any fucking clue, so.
Right.
The clues you gave me are so vague it could be fucking anything.
All right,
Bride of Chucky 11? What is it?
I was... oh. Good guess.
How did you know? Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No.
The new one with that dude from...
Old school Alfred's in it.
Michael Caine?
No, old school Alfred.
Wait, from like the...
Yeah.
Oh, like...
Tim Burton?
Like yeah. Old school Alfred. Jesus. Jeez.
Okay, what movie is it?
Richard Griffiths is also in it.
Thought you were going to say that's the name of the movie.
Jeffrey Jones is in it.
Name the movie.
I have no clue.
Casper Van Dien is in it.
I will slap you.
That's not a horror movie, is it?
In your face.
Is it Casper?
No. Christina Ricci is in it.
Oh, Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. It's Sleepy Hollow.
Is it the Johnny Depp one or the?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Johnny Depp one.
Well, no, because they've been making sleep.
Well, not with Christina Ricci.
I don't know.
This is why I did this. Is I was telling the guys earlier today.
I watched this a couple weeks ago.
Watched this.
There is very rarely a scary movie comes out that looks good to me. Even ones I end up liking, they usually look like shit to me. When I read the description or watch a trailer, like I never want to watch one. Mm-hmm. So it was really hard going through like Netflix and HBO and anything else, trying to find a movie that hopefully is good. Cause like, I'm such a bad judge of what's going to be good in scary movies because I think they all look like shit. So Sleepy Hollow came out in 99. I remember watching it in theaters. It's the only thing I remember about it, outside of course, Johnny Depp and Christopher Walken. I remember those two are in it. That's all I remembered. So I was like, fuck it. I'll watch Sleepy Hollow. I was like, at least Johnny Depp can give some good performances and stuff. This movie starts off, and it's campy in a way. It's really campy in a way, but I don't feel like they know it's campy. Like, that's the problem with it. Like, you could do camp, and that'd be fine, and you can make it work if you're aware of it and you're kind of working with it. This movie felt like it wasn't supposed to be campy.
Yeah, the problem was they didn't mean it to be campy. It just was.
Yeah, which is weird for something that comes out in 99. Like, you expect, you know, accidental campiness from, like, early 80s, you know what I mean? And before that.
Or
like,
early 90s even.
Yeah, even early 90s, but... At least, like, early 90s has a distinct 90s feel, usually, to it. So you kind of understand.
Tango and Cash.
Yeah, so this good one movies. being campy, yeah, nice, was weird. And then, so, of course, so the whole point of the movie is Johnny Depp's character, which I forgot,
Ichabod Crane.
Yeah, was sent to Sleepy Hollow to... basically investigate the deaths of three different people who all died and their heads were chopped off.
It's actually four.
Sorry. Yeah.
I literally
You're
watched
way
it.
Ahead of me, buddy.
I literally watched it at the beginning of this month when I started
Did
my
you?
Horror movie stuff.
Nice.
Do you like it?
I do in a way, but like the way you like Tim Burton movies. But it's not even like a good Tim Burton movie.
No.
And there's so many things that are wrong with it.
And Johnny Depp doesn't give a good performance either.
No, not at all.
He gives a way over the top, and like 90% of his performance is weird facial expressions.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is that his character. It seems like they edited parts of his characterization out of it because he's. What I don't understand is like so in this interpretation of it, not to step on Mike's toes here. Ichabod Crane doesn't play an investigator
of the paranormal. Stuff.
He's a coroner.
Yeah.
And his whole thing is he wants to use science to basically solve murders, right? Except for he's squeamish when it comes to blood.
Which doesn't make sense.
I'm like, bro, that's your job. That's like being afraid of pictures if you're a photographer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's fucking retarded. And he has all these tools, and
it makes none of which of the tools are practical either. They all look like
all super
early
ridiculous
version of inventions.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all
work.
Like experimental tools.
Yeah, because he's creating things that do, like to investigate like.
A scalpel with the fucking weird
little
trigger.
Yeah, like trigger that moves it. Supposed to like, makes it like this. I was like, oh, whatever. But they're like he has like this the chest. I can't remember what it's actually called. Not forceps. The one that separates the bones, but it's like tiny.
Yeah.
And I was like, the fuck good is that gonna do?
Yeah.
You know. But there's so many. The thing that I rewatching it now, and I don't know why. I know why I want to watch it because like I like parts of the movie. But then rewatching it, kind of like Mike, I realized, like, man, a lot of it makes me angry, but the continuity errors are what drive me the most mad.
See, I didn't even get to that point to be annoyed by the continuity errors. Like, I was more annoyed, so they go through the first part. The first time you see when they're telling the story of the Headless Horseman and how he came to be, you see Christopher Walken just murdering the shit out of, like, an army, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's so poorly done. It's like he swings a sword and you just see a head fly away with blood squirting out of it. He swings a sword, a head flies away the other way.
Yeah.
Like the sword is so sharp and he's so powerful. It's just cleaving heads directly off bodies. He takes the one dude's arm off and when it falls, it shoots. But like the problem with that is it's the wrong arm, which I thought was extremely funny. But it also just looks shitty because he comes up swinging at the guy. Chops him off the shoulder somehow, but then the arm falls straight down. I'm like, is gravity more powerful in northern New York?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's where Sleepy Hollow is, apparently. Yeah. I don't remember that being where it was in the cartoon
back in the day. They show a map.
Yeah.
It's Hudson River, New York, Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
for some reason, it takes a
three-day ride to go from New York in horse and buggy to Sleepy Hollow, but on the map, it's literally across the river.
Well, you know, because you can't just cross the river. I mean, that'd be
this
too
is
easy.
Really weird.
And they never showed the river.
And then, never once showed the river.
You followed along the river, never saw the river.
It's
so good.
Yeah, it's just like the camp of it, and it's rated R too, which surprised me.
It's so fucking violent.
It's violent. And again, in a camp way, and it's just because of the blood. Like, if they would have just cut the blood out, like, people would have taken it as a jokey PG-13 movie, like, easily, I think.
And the little bitch that fucking snapped the twig to kill him. Oh, my God. I would have murdered her entire family.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, is, like, they even tell him the story. Like, he filed his teeth to a point to make his look more intimidating or some shit. Yeah. I was like, you look ridiculous.
You're Christopher Walken.
Stop being ridiculous, Christopher Walken. I don't know. It's just the whole thing was really weird to me.
Plus, it looks like he has 88 teeth in his face.
Yeah.
Like, he has fangs. They're, like, this big. But it's, like, nobody's teeth, if you file them down to fangs, would look that way. They'd be way bigger.
Ah. He had the crazy hair.
Yeah, he had the crazy
hair. When he had a head.
Yeah. He had crazy hair after he had his head back, too.
But we don't really have to go into the premise of the movie.
If you don't know by now, it's something's wrong with you. Go watch it.
It's
on Netflix, right? Did I watch it on Netflix?
It's not good.
It was on Netflix. Yeah, because I kept running across it as one of the scary movies.
I can remember,
because
I watch a bunch. I keep going back between different apps and trying to find horror movies to watch.
It wasn't like I was upset that I spent the time watching it. There is just no fun into it. Like, it's fun to a point where you're kind of chuckle at like the ridiculousness of it. But I was really hoping. Man, it's Johnny Depp, you know? Like give me something cool, you know what I mean? Because, I usually like Johnny Depp in Tim Burton movies. Like, he adds something weird to the... Like, he always makes unique choices, obviously. But, like, he played this one like a whiny little bitch with just dumb facial expressions the whole time. It's, like, all I got out of it.
This would be more
And he's so fucking baby-faced in it, too, which made me laugh. Because, like, I know it's 1999. You're like, oh, that's a long time ago. But it's like, we've been watching Johnny Depp movies forever. You know what I mean? And, like, for some reason, this one, he looks like an 8-year-old boy. Like,
go back and watch Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really weird.
Younger.
Obviously, but it's, you would be. It's just so, the movie's so overact, like overperformed. He's an overactor in it. The story, it's an old classic story, but they change weird things around. But like I said, like, there's so many people in the movie that like you recognize. Like I felt like there were 17 people that was from the Harry Potter movies are in it. Mm-hmm. I think there's really only like two. But you're watching it, you're like, oh, Harry Potter. Oh, Harry Potter. Oh, that's Alfred. Oh, that's fucking so-and-so. You know what I mean? Like you're going through, you're like, ah, that's the one guy from Beetlejuice. Like you're going through and you're watching all this and there's like good actors in it, good mm-hmm. classically trained actors, but it's just so weird and over the top, which I guess I should have expected for being a Tim Burton movie, but I remember it. Like I said, I don't
remember. It was Ray Park that played the Headless Horseman when he was Headless Horseman.
Oh, no.
So Darth Maul was the Headless Horseman.
Makes sense.
No.
Which they could have used him as
like some of the Hessian the action horseman sequences. Because
Christopher Walken didn't talk the entire time. The only line he ever had, shh.
Yeah.
That was it. And that's all they had. Mainly because I don't think he could talk, with an accent, or also
grunt noises.
But it makes no sense to bring in such a large actor.
Well, they want it because it's Christopher Walken. And
right.
You know,
but he doesn't say anything. You're going to chop his head off, and you're going to have another.
And it's not like the role. Because I remember thinking, like, I wonder if Christopher Walken liked doing this.
I would do that too, actually, yeah.
You know, throwing some weird teeth, crazy up his hair, let him ride a horse and swing a sword around. Like, he didn't have to memorize any lines.
Probably did.
He just had to act savagely, you know? Yeah. And so, like, I was kind of wondering, like, the first time they show him and they go back some a little bit later, I'm like, I wonder if he dug this, like, or if he was just like, this is a good, easy way to earn some money real quick. Probably was only on set for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
maybe.
If that, you know. So
for the beginning, the flashback to him and the ending.
Yeah.
I think that's really it. Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah. Not like I'm super pissed I watched it, but there's nothing scary about it at all.
Yeah.
There's not one goddamn thing scary about it. There's, like, some of the horseman stuff looks pretty cool until it starts going overboard and campy, but some of it looks pretty cool. And then like I kind of hate the fact that the entire movie, like, they did some like scenic shots from far away and stuff, mm-hmm. and it looked like a drawing.
Yeah, there's a backdrop on a lot of it too.
Yeah, but it just looked like a bad drawing though.
Yeah,
like not even like a good one. And then there's so much fog in the movie to the point where I was like halfway through the movie I'm like, why is it so fucking foggy all the time? Like
it's Sleepy
Hollow all the time.
But
so
also
much fog.
The incongruities of snow.
Yeah.
Like there's a shit ton of snow in the foresty areas.
But you never see it snow.
And the town is completely void of snow. You're like.
And it's just all fog in the town. You know,
like,
how
the fuck? How is there so much snow? It's not like you go in the hills. Like you went up a hill.
It's really weird. Like, and then, like, well, that should tell you
and
how
the premise
like,
of it,
boring
the
movie is. Yeah. Is like, yeah. I started finding myself going, I wonder if this guy enjoyed acting this movie. Hey, why is it so foggy here? Where the fuck did all this snow come from? You know what I mean? Like, you just find yourself questioning stuff during the movie. But,
yeah. You should never do that, yeah.
My most favorite fucked up part of that whole movie is the reveal of why there was 4 bodies instead of 3. Because you find out the chick was pregnant and he fucking killed the baby.
Oh,
man. So he goes to investigate. They dig up the body and her head's missing, of course.
Mm.
And he goes to investigate and he opens up her clothes and there's a fucking stab wound into her stomach. I was like, fuck you guys.
So there's some like vicious stuff to it. But I'm like, fuck, man. I feel like I've never watched the TV show. But I feel like if you threw a good team at the Tim Burton version of Sleepy Hollow, you kind of make it the same thing but tweak some stuff and make it really good and scary and fucking fun.
The horsemen show up with machine guns at one point.
That shouldn't happen.
In the show it did.
Really?
Yeah, yep. It actually did, but that's because it takes place
a modern time, right?
Yeah, it's a modern time one.
Yeah, I kind of it was interesting enough to make me interested in watching an updated, not updated version, but
the other thing too is it does
a good version, I guess.
It's not all about the Headless Horseman. You find out the Headless Horseman is one of the 4 horses of the apocalypse, so like they throw them in there. But yeah, at one point he shows up and his head's in this weird lantern looking thing,
mm-hmm.
and he's coming after him to get it, obviously, because that's the whole premise. Like he wants his head back, He just wants to get some head. But he shows up with two, like, AK-47s. And I was like, okay, I don't like this anymore. I tried. I gave it a shot. Like, that was the first episode, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I gave it, I watched, like, probably 6 or 7 episodes, but I was like, no. No, I'm done. I don't want
it
this.
It turned into, because I watched a bit more, well, you said first 6 or 7 yeah. episodes. Yeah. So it turns into, like, a more of a supernatural, like,
Creature of the Week
TV show, Creature of the Week type thing, and you get this overarching evil that's coming, and they have to try and stop it.
Because of
it,
other evil things are coming into the world, and blah, 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 yeah. And there's a lot of it that was a neat premise.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I'm done. I don't need to watch anymore. So it lasted like 3 or 4 seasons. It actually might still be on.
I think it's actually still going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Cody?
So, Mike, Sleepy Hollow, huh?
Yep. I'm just going to take suggestions for next week.
Invitation or Infinity. You should watch Infinity. That's a space. That's the one with Thor's brother.
Oh, okay.
The other Hemsworth brother. Yeah. The one with...
Liam?
Yeah. No, Liam's the
other. Which one?
Brother.
Liam's the other.
Infinity. It's like Infinity, but without the infinity part on it. It's just I-N... It's Infinity. It's not that fucking hard to spell. It's on Netflix. I just saw it. But it's a really fun one, too. Because it's like a interdimensional alien movie thing. It's pretty interesting. Pretty fun. Lots of blood and guts. People turn inside out. It's pretty fun.
What?
Spoilers. I watched The Lazarus Effect.
I was going to watch that.
You cannot.
I was
watch
this
it.
Close.
You don't have to watch it.
I was this close to doing The Lazarus Effect, and I was like, I trust Johnny Depp more than I trust these people, and Johnny Depp let me down. How was Lazarus Effect?
Not good, no.
No? Not at all?
I remember watching the trailers, and... The whole thing was you saw Olivia Wilde with the black eyes.
That's what it was, yeah.
So the whole... I'll give you the premise of what the movie is. So, and I'll read the little blurb. Medical researchers Frank and his fiancée Zoe have developed a serum codenamed Lazarus. If you don't know who Lazarus is, it's the guy... It's Resurrection, basically. It was intended to assist coma patients, but is shown to actually be able to bring the dead back to life.
Yeah.
So, if you are an animal lover of any type, skip this movie.
Oh.
They don't kill animals outright, but the test subject they're using at first, it starts off with a pig, and then they move to a dog.
They're essentially pet cemeterying them.
In a way, yes.
Yeah, because they're dead, but they're bringing them back to life, yeah.
Spoilers here. Basically what happens is they successfully bring a dog who was put down because he had stage 5 cataracts in both eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He was older. They brought him back with the Lazarus serum. But one of the things they noticed, three things. Minutes after they brought him back, the cataracts were gone.
Mm-hmm.
His eyes were completely clear. He was lethargic, didn't eat, and when they did the CAT scan on him, they realized that his brain had activity all the way through it, which for an animal is not uncommon, unlike humans where we use 10% of our brains, which is true but not true. Doesn't matter. I'll get to that in a minute because that's part of the movie's premise.
Mm-hmm.
But there's activity all over the brain, which it shouldn't be. It should only be firing at certain times. But he doesn't act like a normal dog. He won't fetch. He doesn't come to it like when you call him. He just kind of shows up like whatever, right? He's creepy. And one of the creepiest scenes in it, which I thought was going to be something, and this is one of those movies where they make you think there's going to be jump scares or something to be frightened about, and it's just... ends up being nothing,
mm-hmm.
which is fucking retarded.
Yeah.
At least give me a shitty jump scare if you're gonna try. Yeah. But don't like cock tease it and then pull it away, you know what I mean? Let me have the whole thing. So they bring the dog back to their place from the lab.
Okay, because that's a good idea.
Yeah, uh-huh. You don't know what's gonna happen. The dog could fucking explode for all you know.
Right.
You know? So... It won't eat, it won't drink, blah, blah, blah. She goes to bed, and the night before, she has a nightmare. It's not important. Doesn't matter. The movie's not very good. The only reason I watch it because it has Donald Glover in it.
And does it?
Yeah.
That's the big reason I was going to jump
in. Yeah, the cast is literally five people deep.
Well, I saw it because I remember seeing it on my list and saw Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, Olivia Wilde. Oh, shit. Mark Duplass, who is from The League, as well as many other things. But, okay. The League. Donald Glover. What's his name? Evan Peters, who's the new Quicksilver in the X-Men movies. Okay. Is also from American Horror Story, maybe the second season. Was he in the second season? Doesn't matter. Mm. He was the big thing in season one.
Okay.
Because he was a ghost and no one knew it. What a twist. And then Sarah Bulger, who plays Eva, doesn't really matter. The cast, I would like to see in a better movie, but I don't think it's all their fault. One is his unexperienced director. It's his first feature-length movie. The other stuff he does is like he does documentaries.
Okay.
Which, I mean, don't get me wrong. You can go from making documentaries to making movies, but you can tell that he doesn't know how to shoot this type of movie because there's some scenes that are just awful. Yeah. Like, straight up shots of like faces for no reason. And it's like, I don't know if the actor is supposed to emote more with it or what it is, but it's like unnecessary, like close ups, like really unnecessary. But the scene I'm talking about, so she's in bed and you expect her to be having a bad dream.
Mm-hmm.
So the camera slowly pans up while she's laying in bed. And then you see her and she's like not react, like she's not having, I was like, what the fuck's happening? And then the camera pops out, and the dog's just on the bed staring at her.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, what's going to happen? End scene.
Nothing. Dun, dun, dun.
Go fuck yourselves. So, back to the premise of the movie. So they bring this dog back. They're doing tests. They come in to work into the school / research area they're in, where they have grants and blah, blah, blah. And they're walking in, the security goes, hey, Frank, who is Mark Duplass's character, one of the researchers, so-and-so wants to see you. They're like, oh, he's going down there. So he goes up there. Turns out the agreement he got for the grant
mm-hmm.
was if they do anything illegal, all of it gets basically all the rights, all everything, intellectual property goes to the holder of the grant.
Okay.
So, Dooch, like, they basically tell him, like, you're shut down, like, you're done. We found out that you were testing on animals, and you're not supposed to.
That seems stupid.
Because it's not part of the grant. The grant was supposed to be for coma patients.
Yeah, but what? Okay, that's...
I'm gonna get there.
Sorry.
It's not the fact they were just testing on animals. They were testing on animals before they were approved to test on animals.
Okay, that makes a little bit
more
sense.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So without telling them, hey, like, but we were successful and we brought a dead dog back to life... they're like, so you are shut down. And so he goes down there and this team of like suits and stuff come and they just take all their shit. So they go have a pity party and they're like shitting on each other. Like Mark Duplass character, Frank says, we need to break back in and we need to do this one more time. And like, well, we don't have any serum left. For whatever reason, Olivia Wilde had stashed some at their apartment. So she's got this big, gross bag of milky Lazarus fluid.
Because it makes sense, in case you need it.
Yeah, in a cooling bag, just randomly somewhere. Like, I didn't show her go get it out of the fridge or whatever. It was just like, she got it. I was like, we put this away just in case. I was like, okay, I guess.
Just in case you got shut down. Just in case.
Yeah, like, why? Yeah, I was like, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Good idea. So they have 12 hours before they clean the lab out of all the equipment, right? So they break in using, because they deactivated their cards, but the... Ava, the filmer, she's filming their progress. She still has a guest badge, so she can get in. Luckily enough,
because that wouldn't be the first badge that they
deactivated. Yeah,
yeah.
So they sneak in, and they're all weary about it, like especially Donald Glover. And then, like throughout the like, thing, you see Frank and Zoe, who's Olivia Wilde's character, broke off their wedding plans because of the research thing, so they could focus on it without worrying about the wedding, blah, blah, blah. And they kind of, not really separated in a way, but like the love is like not really there because like they're both focused on stuff. But you find out Donald Glover has the thing for Olivia Wilde.
Who doesn't?
Come on now. So he's reluctant to help him. Evan Peters is a dick bag. I don't even know why he's there. Like, no one's friends with him. He's just, like, an asshole who's always smoking, I think, weed, but they don't really say. Those stupid electronic cigarettes, fucking garbage. But he's always eating, so I'm guessing he's fucking stoned. So they go in there. Donald Glover's, who's, like, their computer guy or whatever, hacks into the security system so they can watch, and he basically turns off the recording. And then they basically find out they found out that they were being spied on by the school, mm-hmm. and that's how they found out about the animal testing, because no one else was supposed to know except for the five of them. Anyways, it doesn't matter. So they came in, stole all their research stuff, all their hard drives, blah, blah, blah. So they go in with a little bit they have. They tried again on another dog, and they couldn't get it to work. Because they seemed to always fail in the first one, and they go to a second one every time. The second one doesn't work, so they up the amperage even more. And so when they do it, all of a sudden, the lights shut, like, go off, and you hear like an electrical explosion, and the emergency lights kick on, and Olivia Wilde's on the ground just fucking dead. She got electrocuted.
Okay.
So the premise is she has to flip a switch that puts the current through the machine into the Frankensteining the subject. Well, earlier in the movie, which is the only saving grace that I saw in it, was the cool fact is at one point when they went to do the test, the experiment on Rocky, she takes off her necklace and her engagement ring, so there's no metal.
Okay.
But so she wears a glove.
Uh-huh.
The second time when she got electrocuted, she didn't. She had her jewelry on. So when you go back and look at the body, you can actually see the scorch mark where it basically went through her body and exited. Like, it just went through, stopping her heart, blah, 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 right? So being distraught, Frank, Mark Duplass' character, does the experiment on forces them to help him do the experiment on her. Well, she comes back in a very creepy way, so I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
They don't think it works. And then they notice the security guard left his post because they were monitoring him, and he was coming down for his rounds. So they have to hide. So what they do is they throw a sheet over her, because all they really have is just the one computer, but shut off all the power and stuff. And I'm guessing he went down there because there's probably some kind of warning that, hey, the power went out down there.
Yeah.
So he goes down, makes his rounds, looking around. He doesn't see anything. He leaves and like, oh, good, they're gone. We have to focus on Zoe. They look over and she's sitting up with the sheet on her, just on the table, and they're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes from there, and it's like, it's this recurring nightmare she has. She ends up bringing the other girl into it, and then she explains that that's actually hell, that you have to relive your worst nightmare on loop, basically. And it's basically this, like, the dream doesn't tell you what it is ahead of time. It's only when she goes into the dream you get more. It's about, basically, it's this apartment building hallway. And there's a fire in an apartment, and these people are burning alive and trying to get out, but the door's locked. And you see they're melting, charred hands trying to dig under the door.
Mm-hmm.
And she turns around. She sees a little girl holding something. And I was like, oh, obviously the little girl started the fire. Like, that's pretty evident. And because she hides whatever it is. You're not meant to see what it just seems like there's something in her hand. And it turns out that's Olivia Wilde's character.
When she was younger.
When she was younger, and the reason she has those nightmares is because she started the fire.
Yeah, because I couldn't guess that right now.
Yeah, right? So fucking bad.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Then, for some reason, a fiery, melty corpse grabs a hold of the chick that's in the vision, in the dream with her, and burns her hand and brings her out of it. And so he wakes up, she's got a burnt handprint on her arm.
Okay.
Yeah, fucking, it's awful. So she's freaked out, they're freaked out, blah, 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 and Zoe's not actually acting normal, blah, blah, blah. That's fucking dumb. She wants Donald Glover's help, so she, like, talks him into going to the MRI, because when they did the first test on her, her entire brain has activity in it all the time, and they're noticing the CERM's not going away. It's supposed to dissipate within minutes, but it's staying there for
some
right
reason.
Now, ever. And it's the Lazarus based on the chemical that your brain releases when your body starts to die. That's supposed to give you, like, that relaxed feeling. You know, you say, like, you see light and,
light,
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's a real thing. It's a chemical, I can't remember what it's called, that basically makes you go on, like, the world's best psychedelic trip. It's based on that to make your brain, like, it's dumb. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing is she tries to get Donald Glover, and he's like, no, you're not right. Like, something's wrong with you. So then she flips out on him. Uses her magic crazy powers to throw him across the room into this.
Wait, she has magic crazy powers?
Yeah, it's fucking dumb.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. he flies into this just open big metal cabinet, you know?
Uh-huh.
That apparently doesn't have any shelving or anything. It doesn't stop him from going right in and the door shut on him. He's screaming, hey, you know, stop this, whatever. And then she uses her crazy mind powers to crush him in it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's so dumb. And that's not even the worst death of the whole thing. The worst death is Evan Peters' character is like, no, something's wrong with her. And for some reason, has his electronic cigarette in his fingers and he's pointing at her with it. And she's like flinches and the cigarette flies out of his hand, goes into his throat and he starts choking on it.
Okay.
So they're trying to get it out and like she's he's choking and he's looking at her and Olivia Wilde just winks at him. Like, it's so fucking retarded, nobody else right there saw.
Is
gonna, yeah.
The e-cigarette just flies
out of his hand into his fucking throat. And like, oh, he's choking on something. I'm like, will you not fucking pay attention to the guy who's in front of you?
Apparently not.
And so he gets forceps and he's trying to pull the fucking thing out of his throat and like he's choking on it, but I'm like, how is he choking on it? It's the size of like it's the width of a cigarette.
Which should be small enough to just go straight through his trachea.
Yeah. Or if he gets stuck, he's still gonna have wispy breaths around it, but it's closing off his windpipe somehow.
All right.
So it's fucking dumb. So he dies from that.
Okay.
They get it out and they're like, oh my god, like what? And she's like, it's her. Something's not right. And then she like Akira's the place and like just goes like fucking Super Saiyan. Everything in the room lifts up, and then the lights crash and it was so bad. Then she ends up crushing Mark Duplass's head.
Okay.
In her hands, like cracks his skull, doesn't like, you know, but like breaks it, and he, like his eyes are bulging. And then you think the other chick Ava is gonna have the step off her because she brings her back into the thing, and she's basically telling the little girl, "You can save them, you know, you can do it." So she talks to the little girl, opening the door. The door opens, there's a blinding white light, and she's shocked. And all of a sudden, she wakes up because she stabbed Olivia Wilde with this syringe full of this thing that's supposed to knock her out or whatever.
Okay.
Because she had, like, Mark Lou, that was the plan, like, they were going to stab her with this thing or whatever. Has to be a full dosage or whatever. And then she doesn't kill her, it just makes her, like, kind of snap out of the full Super Saiyan mode. And then she stabs in the neck with another one, and then she drops dead. Then she collapses down because Olivia Wilde's dead. The firefighters show up. One of them's talking to her, and she's like, yeah, she, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she looks over, and Olivia Wilde's body's gone. And then the fireman's, like, body backs away out of the scene. You can see wispy hair, and it's her.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, it cuts, and I was like, what the fuck? And next thing you see is Olivia Wilde has Mark Duplass's body on the table, and she plugs the machine into him, and then plugs a line into her vein, and she basically brings him back, and that's how the end of the movie ends.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't watch it because it did lose me at the whole, you know, bringing people back to life thing. I was like, well, it's not a scary thing to me. It can be. But, like, it was something that it just didn't, I was like, nah, that doesn't sound very scary at all, especially you're bringing Olivia Wilde back from the dead. The synopsis said that they did it, so it was like,
yeah,
whatever. But that sounds awful. Like, well, because, I mean,
so you get, like, the whole thing, what got me is the fact that, like, you get something eerie and creepy about the dog, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not acting normal. At one point, he, like, pseudo-attacks Evan Peters' character.
But there's, like, no payoff in it.
Yeah, there's none. Like, no actual physical violence is done by this dog to make you think he's scary.
And the way that it sounds from the description is, like, it has to be overtly done in order for all this to happen. Because even from the beginning, if you're doing science right, you're following the rules. And so you're going to wait for the trials to be okay to do dogs and in animals and whatnot. And then none of that other shit happens.
Yeah.
You know?
They do. The one thing, though, about that is they make it sound like he had permission in a way, but it went against the bylaws of the grant agreement he signed, and like he wasn't supposed to do that yet. Like, it was super dumb. It was just like
But that's what I mean. If you're you follow in the real world, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Obviously, this is
fake,
you know, movie land. But in the real world, it's like
movie magic.
You just follow the rules.
Yeah.
And none of that other shit happens. You know,
yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I was hoping good. It was gonna be like Flatliners. Remember that movie? With
we went three for three this week, guys. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
We did. We all picked some very awful ones. Excuse me.
Gross. Ooh.
Yeah, this rock star is not waking me up and
making you burp. So yeah, thumbs down from me, and I don't say that about a lot of movies.
No, you love dumb shit.
Yep.
Yeah, but you have to love even when you love dumb stuff, it's mostly because it recognizes itself as dumb stuff. You know, it's But stuff like this, it tries to take itself too seriously, and it comes off as dumb.
So
it's a dumb premise or whatnot.
Cody, did you come up with your list of five movies?
Nope, we're done. We are the producer's
got.
Well,
we got
giving
five.
We
got like
sign.
Four and a half minutes left.
Bruce is giving us the wrap sign.
All right. Just so you people know what we're talking about, I randomly thought of a weird, dumb thing the other night. So I text the guys. I go, "Hey, if you had to pick five movies and you could only watch those movies for the rest of your life, what movies would they be?" So Joe fired back an answer super quick. Like, he was right there on it.
Because there's a lot of movies that I like and I can watch over and over and over again.
And because this is not necessarily your five favorite movies, because
this
know.
Was just if you're trapped on an island, and the way I took it was you're trapped on an island, and like some luggage comes washing ashore, and it happens to have five movies in it.
Yeah,
five movies would you be okay with? Like,
it's not
having
a fair question,
and it's a fair question to me.
Cody had a brain aneurysm trying to think about just the ideal of making that list, and he didn't like me much. And which, I granted, my list is not fully completed either, because it's a very difficult question when you're a bunch of movie nerds.
Yeah. It's a fucked up question.
Yeah, it's super fucked up. But we're going to make Cody answer this question next week. Next week, he's going to have his list of his five.
In 2 weeks from now, I will have my list. I guarantee you.
Two weeks
from now.
That's more.
2 weeks.
Weeks from now will be the first episode in November.
Are so going we, to hold you to that.
Yeah.
We will tease it again next week. And so, oh man, a 2 week tease for a big payoff. You better come through in a big bad way, buddy.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed on my list. By
of,
then.
Of five.
Of at five. Least five.
Nope. No. Of five.
At
we,
least
we
five.
We will accept six because we kind of accepted six in, even in the text messages.
At least five.
Five. Max.
Well, that's elite. At least five.
Max.
At least
we're not
five.
Going to top 10.
No. Can't do top 10. That's too easy.
Yeah. No, because top 10 would still make me have aneurysm.
Yeah. And so we got to put a little difficulty into the scenarios.
All right. So in 2 weeks, I'll have a list.
All right. And look out for our last week of scary movies. Hopefully we do better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to find something.
Yeah, I know. I really got to start digging through Netflix as well.
Or Netflix doesn't have it, man. I gotta find something on iTunes.
I got to find something.
I got to go find like an old classic or something.
Well, I don't have my Apple TV.
I'm shooting for something I haven't seen yet. But that's the crapshoot. The problem is if I haven't seen it, it's probably because I didn't want to.
No.
Or like The Witch. I don't remember it playing anywhere near us, so I never had a chance to see it. But it was recommended to me, so I watched it, and I enjoyed it.
I almost watched Cape Fear the other night, too.
But next week, you have to find something you haven't seen yet.
Yeah. So that's the shitty part.
Boom. All right. All right. Producer's giving us the wrap-up symbol. There it is.
Time
to go. Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and once again, thank you for listening. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Goldberg.